Kaita observed Neffer knock, draw, and hold his aim. He was watching the yellow flag on its staff behind the row of targets that were set up 200 paces in front of them. The flag stirred and flapped, filled for a moment, then sagged limply as the hot breeze died away. Neffer loosed, and the arrow rose on its lazy parabola of flight. It reached its zenith, and as it started to drop, the breeze puffed against Taita's cheek. The arrow felt the breeze also, and veered perceptibly in flight. It dropped towards the target, and struck 3 hands' breadth to the leeward side of the red bull's-eye. "Ah, Seth, vomit on this treacherous wind!" Neffer swore.
"The light arrow feels it more,"
Taita said, and walked back to the little cart that carried the spare bows and the quivers. He came back with a long bundle wrapped in a leather sheath. "No," Neffer said, as he unwrapped Trok's great war bow.
"It outdoes me.
When did you last attempt to draw it?" Taita asked.
"On the day we unearthed it," Neffer replied. "You should know you were there."
"That was 6 months ago," Taita said, and glanced significantly at Nefer's bare chest and arms. The muscles had grown hard as carved cedar wood. He handed the bow to him. Reluctantly, Neffer took it and turned it in his hands. He saw that the stock had been rebound recently with fine electrum wire and lacquered. The bowstring was new, the sinews of a lion's forelegs cured and twisted until they were hard and unyielding as bronze. The refusal rose to his lips again, but he did not pass them, for Taita was watching him. He lifted the bow, and without an arrow in place, raised it and tried to draw. It came back half a cubit, then his arms locked, and although the muscles flattened and hardened across his chest, it would move no further. Carefully, Neffer released the pressure, and the bow stock returned to rest.
"Let me have it back." Taita reached out to take the weapon from him. "You have neither the strength nor the determination."
Neffer jerked it away from him, and his lips went thin and white. His eyes blazed.
"You don't know everything, old man, even though you think you do."
He reached into the cart and snatched one of the long, heavy arrows from the quiver that carried the cartouche of Trok embossed in the polished leather. Like the bow, it had been salvaged from the buried chariot. He strode back to the firing line and took his stance. He knocked the arrow. His chest swelled as he sucked in a full breath. His jaw clenched, and he began to draw. It came back slowly at first and reached the median line. He grunted, and his breath hissed out through his throat. The muscles in his arms stood proud and hard, and he came back to the full draw, kissing the bowstring like a lover. In the same movement he loosed, and the heavy arrow leapt away, singing against the blue, made its noon, and dropped, flying high over the line of targets, going on and on, twice the distance. Then the flint head struck a bright spur of sparks from a distant rock, and the shaft snapped with the terrible power of the strike. Neffer stared after the arrow in astonishment, and Taita murmured, "Perhaps you are right." Neffer dropped the bow and embraced him.
"You know enough, old father," he said. "Enough for all of us."